What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball Hot Takes. So it is our Sunday night crew with you for a midweek special. So Terry, why don't you lead us off with your hot take?
Just hitting it fast today. All right, mine comes from his Twitter name is EAL3. And buddy, if you're listening, I'm not trying to destroy you here, but I keep seeing this and it's driving me nuts. And, you know, this is kind of an example of it. Wouldn't Anthony Rizzo be a solid pickup for first base? And he puts in parentheses for free. He would hit as well as Toro or anyone else they put there, but add top-notch defense and clubhouse veteran leadership. And he asked for our thoughts. Anthony Rizzo is washed. Just totally washed. Go look at his Savant chart from last year. It's as blue as the Pacific Ocean. Add that to the fact he's a lefty. Okay, we don't need another lefty bat. We just lost one for the year. And maybe beyond with Tristan Casas. Okay, at least we don't root for injuries, but at least use that situation to get a right-handed bat at that position. If it's not going to be Devers, if Devers goes to first, then you add your righty in at DH or some kind of a platoon. But Rizzo is washed. He's probably not going to stay healthy, and it just makes no sense.
The only part of this that I agree with is that he would add top-notch clubhouse veteran leadership. I personally think we have better options in the system. I don't know what your guys' thoughts have been on Sogard, but he's hitting and he's playing defense and it's passable. And amazingly, he was able to figure it out in 4 games in the minor leagues. He's already played more games at first base in the big leagues than he did in the minor leagues. So for those of you that think it's impossible, Sogard is walking proof that if you commit to it and you have big league talent and he's a fringe big league player, it's, you can do it. If you're going to go outside the organ, because we have internal options, right? Obviously, I think they're still working on Devers. I think there's conversations with Cora every day on Devers. We just don't have a piece in the organization that's supposed to be there in the future. We have our future shortstop. You know, we have our future probably left fielder, although I agree that future should be now. There was no plan. There hasn't been a plan for 2 years. This happened last year when Casas went out. They went and got, I forgot his name. We DFA'd him and he went and played for Cincinnati. He was passable. He didn't kill us. He didn't win a bunch of games, but he wasn't the reason why you were losing games.
Was it Dom this Smith?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Terry. Dom Smith. This is not the reason to go outside the organization. This is not even a stop. This isn't even a stopgap. To me, it's a complete non-starter. I know he's a name. When we hear names from the past, we have to go and look at where they are in their career. And Rizzo's career is most likely over. If we're going to go outside the organization, in my opinion, it can't be a stopgap. You got to go get somebody that you hope is the answer for the next 2+ years and solidify that spot, because Cassis's injury is going to leak into next year, if not the whole year. So if we are, if Breslow, and he should be, until they can get Devers to commit, they should go try to find somebody on a bad club and use our prospects and our assets to go get them.
Anthony Rizzo's not coming to Boston. There's exactly one person who thinks that's a suitable solution, and that's you. I agree with Jeremy. He'd bring leadership to the clubhouse, but so would a couple other people if you wanted to make, you know, bring him here. It's just, it's not a realistic aspect. It's not going to happen. Like this team has so many issues within the last 72, 96 hours. It's insane. So adding someone who's not going to move the needle in a majority of the categories doesn't make sense. So for me, no, I'm absolutely out on Rizzo. Jeremy brought up a couple points about Nick Sogard. I don't mind the idea of Nick Sogard being the first baseman. I don't think he's the answer at first base, but then again, we don't have an answer at the present moment. So there's going to be a lot of plug and chug and just hoping that we can get a suitable solution with Casas now out for the rest of the season.
I think Sogard could be like a poor man's Brock Holt in a way. He can play most of the infield.
I like that.
I bet he could play the outfield in a pinch if he had to. He's very athletic. He's put together some scrappy at-bats. I mean, they're not going to be going over the fence, but he can put them in play. That game that we lost, that heartbreaker to, what was that, Detroit in game two. I mean, a couple of times, I mean, he was putting it in play, getting on base, moving the base runners. So I like to see that. I think Romy Gonzalez, if the guy can stay healthy, he's had health issues his whole career, but he's only out with a contusion. I think he has a much higher ceiling than even a guy like Rizzo at this point. And I think, you know, the metrics kind of back that up. Or go ahead.
Nope. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say one other thing here. Why is Toro up here? Because we keep seeing, you know, with the Devers controversy, you're kind of seeing that Breslow and Cora aren't seeing eye to eye. And this is like conspiracy theory. I can't prove anything, just a hunch, but is Breslow making Toro play first to piss Cora off and be like, all right, you don't want your boy to play first base? All right. How about Abraham Toro? Not even the best choice. I mean, Vaughn Grissom is far and away the guy that should be doing it right now at first base if we're calling anybody up from the minors, but it's Sogard.
If they're doing that, someone needs to go. You can't have petty infighting like that that affects the roster. So for that reason, I'm going to say that's not what's happening. But if that is what's happening, either Cora or Breslow has to go. So you're so petty that you're willing to have make a decision on the roster for the big league club that has a negative impact to prove a point. If that's happening, Terry, that is just utter dysfunction and somebody or both have to go. That's utterly ridiculous. I'm going to go with that's not what's happening.
Well, we just can't make any sense out of it is what I struggle with.
Yeah, I didn't understand why Toro was the person that got called up when we had other people that just made simply more sense. Abraham Toro.
Well, Sogard's a switch hitter too, so he's getting the at-bats against lefties because he's
I'm not talking about Sogard. Sogard was not the person. Toro is just a warm body. That's like Matt Hall in relief from years ago. Absolute trash. Like just could not get the job done. You could find literally anybody and they would be better. Vaughn Grissom was the person that should have been brought up. I'm sorry. Toro needs to go yesterday.
Can I make one more point before we move on?
Yeah, sure.
Your first baseman and third baseman need to hit for power. Sogard, even if Sogard's good for another 2 to 3 weeks, if it's not Devers, you have to have a bigger body guy that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. Otherwise, you're wasting the spot. I mean, big league clubs are built, and I know in modern times, you still want more athletic players, but you put your bigger body players, especially at first base, and you want power from that spot. I'm not saying that you just put the worst defensive player at first base, because this is big league baseball. It's not how it works. But you typically hide somebody there that hits for power. I'm not going to go roster to roster, but, you know, to have essentially a utility middle infielder playing first base who is incapable of hitting the ball for power goes to show you how bad we are right now at first base for what most clubs would want out of that spot. And it's so obvious to me, and I think everybody else, that it has to be Devers. Doesn't run well, isn't good throwing the baseball. That's one of his big issues when he played third, is even when he did catch it, the throw was a problem, the footwork was a problem. A lot of that stuff can be eliminated if he just works at it. And then you can get power back in other spots. You can get Refschneider some more at-bats, potentially. You could free Yoshida from jail. It's so frustrating. And I know you guys have talked about it with the other co-hosts, so I don't want to hammer it. It's just Sogard is, even if he's been okay, it has to be a short-term solution.
I'm just getting so tired of the mental gymnastics I have to do every day to make this roster make sense. Like every day I float like 12 different alignments in my head, you know, a couple different DH options, a couple different first base options. You know, why is Trevor Story still here? You know, just so many things.
Well, Trevor Story ain't going anywhere because he's got way too much money owed to him, and ownership Precisely. Ain't going to swallow that pill, bro.
Not even close.
I think they're going to rip the Band-Aid off. I'm just saying, before the All-Star break, I think it'll
happen. Before the All-Star break?
They'll
DFA him?
Or something.
I'll make whatever bet you want to make, Terry.
I've taken so many L's this year, but somebody was just, I forget who it was. It was probably Milliken or someone stupid. But they said his WRC plus right now is 36. 100 is league average. 140 is like you're going to be starting in the All-Star game. It's just the metrics for Story have just taken a nosedive. He can't hit the fastball at all. He can't catch up to 94 miles an hour. So I don't see how you can do it, really.
So I'm going to say a couple things. Trevor Story is a weird anomaly because this was a guy that when he came this year was absolutely torching it, was doing really, really well. And then somewhere down, it was like, I don't know, halfway through April, there was like a weird change. And then you saw the batting average drop from like 310 and it just didn't stop sinking. It fell through. And then this month he's been awful. But we've seen that with players before in the past. That's one problem. Number two, I don't know if people are also jumping to wild conclusions right now based on the fact that the Red Sox got smoked by the Detroit Tigers, the best team in the American League, and it's not even close. Like, we got swept by the best team in baseball. Am I surprised? No. I apologize. That's my dog with a squeaky toy in the background. As far as people getting DFA'd, you got Trevor Story, you got Yoshida. Neither one of them are going to get DFA'd. Neither one of them are going to get traded. You can't get anything for them right now, especially if you're going 7-for-44 for the month. You're hitting $1.50 for the month. That's not going to get it done. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we keep talking about needing to have power at first and third base. We messed up during the offseason. Like, that's the problem. We didn't get the players that we needed to get. We didn't make trades. We weren't willing to eat money. Like, Terry, several weeks we tossed around Nolan Arenado. Nolan Arenado is not going to come to Boston, not for the amount of money that they're unwilling to eat. It's not necessarily a warm body, but how much of that contract or how much more time left in that player's career is going to be worth it or worthwhile before we're like, damn it. Now we got Story, Yoshida, and Arenado eating up money, and all three of them wouldn't be starters on other teams.
Well, people are saying right now that Arenado is washed. He's not worth acquiring. Trevor Story is like way beyond that.
He's below
that.
That's
how bad Story is.
Yeah. Right. But Trevor Story, like here's my thing. How do you go from absolutely torching it for the first month to just disappearing for the second month? Like what changed? Fatigue? Is he injured? Do we not know about it?
To clear, because I feel like Charlie's yelling at me a little bit.
I'm not yelling at you.
What I want to have happen is Devers to play first base, Roman Anthony to DH, Mayer to come up, DFA Story. Okay, that's what I want. But you have to apply that our owner is John Henry. Okay, so what do we know about this guy? He isn't going to spend the money to DFA a player with multiple years left on his deal at $26 million a year, whatever it is. He's going to hold on as long as he can, trying to get that player right so that they don't have to pay another spot. They don't have to have dead money. This is an asset to John Henry. You don't DFA $26 million guys with 3 years left on their deal. You don't do it if it's an asset. Now, I want him to manage the team and own the team like he did 15, 20 years ago. That guy would have DFA'd this guy and made the club as viable as possible and built the roster. This version is just not going to do it, guys. It's not
just happen. Go back to the game two. That was the heartbreaker loss I mentioned earlier. Trevor Story wasn't in that game. David Hamilton was playing shortstop, and nothing remarkable happened defensively there. But he was fire all night long in that lineup. He hit a single, and then in the next at bat, he's on first. Rafaela just rips one up the gap, and Hamilton scored from first base. I mean, it's just good things happen when Trevor Story's not in there. And I just think once you bring up Mayer, I just don't see a fit for him anymore. I just don't see them seeing the value in a $22 million a year bench guy. I just think.
Did you guys see Mayer's home run on Tuesday night?
Was it majestic?
Up and away. I think I'd say it was above the belt. You don't get the same camera angle in minor league baseball games. And he hit that thing the opposite field to the power alley. Nice. Gone.
Here's
like above the belt, outside black, Oppo Taco. It was unbelievable. I'm like, this guy's
just let me ask you a question. Do you think that there's a world where the Boston Red Sox, and I'm not the first person to say this, but a few people have said it. Do you think there's a world where Jaron Duran is packaged in a deal because he's not going to get a crazy contract as a member of the Red Sox to try to get a power hitting first baseman or just a power hitting third baseman, whatever. Although I don't think they would get another third baseman. Do you think that that's a possibility? Try to make a move, get rid of, package Duran in something, try to get something done. We're not going to pay Jaron Duran the money that he wants. And I don't know if he's going to do better this year than he did last year.
Or do we have any obligation to do so?
Well, I'm not talking about obligation, but I'm talking about right now, like necessities. Like it's another left-handed hitter. Terry's already talked about it. Like till we're blue in the face, we have way too many left-handed hitters. If there's an opportunity where you can trade someone, Jaron Duran is probably the guy that is going to go. I mean,
two things. So he's controllable for three more years beyond this. So you don't even have to talk. You don't have to talk about an extension, really. And other teams may see value in that. Wow, 3 years of Jaron Duran. That's pretty good. And two episodes ago, we had Matt McCarthy from the Sports Hub on. Towards the very end of that show, we did discuss this. And I was saying, I brought it up, and my take was, I'm starting to feel like Jaron Duran is more expendable now than Willier Abreu is.
100%. Absolutely. Willier Abreu is on another planet right now. It's him and Alex Bregman and friends. So the rest of the team, it's like watching Bambi on ice. You don't know what the hell you're going to see. You don't know what the hell you're going to get. And for those that are watching and are spending the money for that, not really fun if there's like an accident or an injury. So here's the problem. If you're depending on Alex Bregman, who's going to be I'm going to say, I don't think he's going to stay after next year or this year. Rather, he is playing his way out of Boston, and Willier Abreu is probably going to get, what's his arbitration for Willier? Cause I'm not paying attention to what he's got. I don't remember.
Probably,
he's not arbitration eligible yet. I don't think he's arbitration eligible until maybe next year. Right. It's renewable.
I think it's beyond that. Even I'm pulling it up right now.
So, okay. So that's the case, right? Jaren Durant is not that. Jaren Durant also does not have the power that Willier does. I was saying earlier that I absolutely love Willier's swing. Willier's swing reminds me of Ken Griffey a little bit. There are some swings that he's taking now where I'm like, oh, that's gone. I don't even think about it. Some of them, it's like Rafael Devers when he's ripping them to deep center. He kind of does this like lean back, kind of walk and stare, and you just know that's gone. With Willier's swing, I'm not questioning it. With Jaren Durant, I don't know what I'm getting.
1-27. So I saw Matt McCarthy's commentary on this, and I don't disagree with it. He has value. I know Johnny just put in the chat here that Duran will never be 2024 Duran again, and he might be right, but does he have to, Johnny? He was, you know, the third best player in Major League Baseball last year, third or fourth best player. I don't think he has to be that to still be a tremendously effective player, but it's that 2024 to support Terry's point that is going to be marketable to other teams to get assets to help the big league club and potentially add a prospect. I think it's absolutely on the table. And that could be a way to free up a spot for Roman Anthony without having to deal with Devers' personality issues. So I hate it. I like the player. I don't like him so much that I don't see the positive upswing of a potential trade by moving him. So
someone's going, Jeremy. Someone has to go. You can't keep all these toys in the box. Like, it's just, it doesn't make sense. At one point, you've got to let some of them go. They're not all going to be here, and they're not all going to start. They're not all going to play.
I don't disagree with you, but I think that their management might be hanging on to say this is going to resolve itself with injuries.
Charlie, hold on.
You're about to yell at me again. Charlie,
No.
I'm not saying that's what I think, okay? Because if it were me today, Devers, get your ass to first base and shut the bleep up, all right? Roman, you go down and you do what you do and hit. And Story, we're going to fake DL you here for a little bit, just like we did with Hauk. And we're going to bring up Mayer and we're going to see if he goes. If he goes, we're going to figure it out. Probably DFA you or look to trade you and eat a bunch of money. And if he doesn't, we send him back down. We give you one more chance and we move along the process here. That's what I would do yesterday. I'm just saying, what do we know about Henry? What do we know about Breslow? What do we know about the way this team has operated for years on end? It's not what I want. It's what I think.
Right. Yeah. Here's the other thing too. Let's say Rafi Devers goes to first base, right? Devers goes to first base and Roman Anthony doesn't get called up. Marcelo Mayer doesn't get called up. Then what's the excuse? Oh, we got a different plan. Well, what's the plan?
That would be shocking.
But you know, it shouldn't be shocking. We brought up Toro over Vaughn Grissom. That was the decision.
But Charlie, the difference is that we don't have a in the organization replacement for Cassis.
We do not. That's true.
So that's the difference. It would be one thing if we had Mayer, but Mayer was a 6'5", 235-pound right-handed bat. It's like the obvious, we'll just go to the young guy now. They haven't built a bat. And the same thing happened last year. I was in this podcast last year screaming about the same thing. They haven't established a backup plan at first base, and it has bit them in the ass. I think I can say ass, Charlie. 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row. And he didn't learn from last year and say, hey, maybe this guy who's doing all this goofy stuff with his personality and can't stay healthy, that might have an effect. And then, by the way, you also tried to trade him to Seattle for whatever pitcher that you could get for him. It didn't work. What was your plan if you made that happen? Did you have one? He's just ignoring that like we need a plan at first base other than Cassis.
Yeah, the plan right now is we're going to stick a 6 foot, 6'1", 220 guy at first.
Well, Sogard's going to play in the near future. He's the guy.
How tall is Sogard?
He's the middle infielder, bro. I don't think he's taller than 6 foot.
Right. Exactly. So like, I don't think that this team is going to be feared the way that some of us thought. Like this year, I thought the Boston Red Sox had a chance to be the best team in the American League. Now I look foolish.
I know. Because you picked them to go to the World Series.
I picked them to go to the World Series. And right now, eating a lot of crow because everything is going wrong. I didn't have Tanner Houck allowing 11 runs in one game, let alone two. And he's now on the IL. So yeah, they're going to have to make changes. They're going to have to make a decision. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be pretty. You have to shake up the clubhouse a little bit here. There was one thing that you talked about, like the issue about, okay, why certain players got, you know, added to the roster and why people got brought up to Boston and whatnot. So the dysfunctionality between Breslow and Cora, and oh, we're just going to have you pick this guy or use this guy. If that's true, like I'm with you, dude, that'd be insane. One or both need to go. But, you know, Alex Cora got his contract extension. Breslow is there because nobody else wanted the position. So if you fire one or both of them, who's going to take that spot? Who's going to say, yes, I'll be the GM of the Boston Red Sox, a position that 11 people said no, or 10 people said no before one person's like, sure, I'll do it. And then a manager that can't seem to make up his mind over situations that are going on in this team. It's just, it's a mess.
You promote the bench coach if you move on from Cora.
Would you do it right now?
No. And that goes into my hot take that we'll get to, I guess, perfect, in a second. But there's a ready-made solution here. The Boston Red Sox employ Theo Epstein.
Right.
We know that he's been involved with mentoring Breslow. And there's some belief that Theo Epstein jumped in to affect the Bregman deal. So and the only thing I don't know is Theo watching a bunch of baseball, talking with the scouts. You know, I know he's not on the phone. That's Breslow's job. But how much is he in tune with the current landscape of players available? If the answer is he's involved, I know he's important to Henry's portfolio and running business decisions, but he could take a step back for a couple of years and get back into running a club.
He won't do it.
I think where he's got ownership now, I don't think that'll happen outside of Boston at least. But
But if, let's say this was happening and you had to fire Breslow tomorrow, you have an in-house solution to get you through the end of the year.
I think there's one other interesting name out there that they could pursue. If it's just a circus behind the scenes, they could go after Zach Scott. He was with the organization for just about all of those World Series wins, I think including 2018, if I'm not mistaken, but at least the first three. Then he went to the Mets. He was their GM for a couple months. He got a DUI. They fired him. He's kind of come back in the media aspect of things. And, you know, he weighs in here and there on stuff going on with teams. I just think that would be a very easy solution. And he would say yes, just to get back in the game. And so there wouldn't be an optics thing by going that route if they wanted to get rid of Breslow.
I also think that this is all very, very unlikely. I don't think either will be fired this season.
And that's, I would agree with that. I'm not. Here's the other interesting thing. If they don't go with Zach Scott, let's say John Henry has a tough decision to make. Alex Cora and Breslow can't coexist. You got to get rid of one of them. I think we all can agree he likes Alex Cora better. There's been a long relationship there. They brought him back after one of the biggest scandals in the history of the sport. And I think he likes Cora, but if he doesn't want a Zach Scott type guy, he can't fire Breslow and have the optics of, oh, he just blew through another one in a year and a half. So that makes me think maybe Cora would be the odd man out. What if Cora resigns? I don't know. Like, we're getting extremely hypothetical here, but yeah. I wonder how bad things really are in that front office. Between the front office and the manager.
Well, we know there's something going on. I don't know that we know how bad it is.
There's definitely something. It's not fun. It's not pretty. And we're going to find out eventually. Someone's going to talk. But I mean, Cora's here for another 2 years. He got a 3-year extension. So he's here through 2027. And they're paying him what, like $7 million and change? $7.25, $7.3 million, something like that. So Cora's not going anywhere because, like Jeremy said, they're not going to eat $14 million. They're just not going to do it. So he's here. So you better get used to the idea that he's here.
If they get to the end of next year, they could eat the lame duck year.
I don't know that those are.
But I don't think they're going to do it.
Are those contracts guaranteed like the players are? I'm not positive.
They're fully Major League Baseball contracts are fully guaranteed. Yeah, it's the only sport like the NFL. You don't sign a guaranteed contract. NHL, I think the same thing.
Well, no, the coaches get guaranteed money.
In what? Okay. Major League Baseball?
Or the in all sports.
Interesting.
In all the four major North American sports, the coach's money is
paid. I did not hear that about hockey. Okay.
One other Theo thing real quick, because we're all complaining that Anthony and Meyer aren't up yet. When Theo was the GM, he had a very strict rule. They're not going to move up, whether it's AAA to the major leagues or single A to double A. They're not getting promoted until they've had 400 at bats at every level. So perhaps that's what's going on right now.
But they didn't do that with Campbell.
True. But
Campbell only got 60 at bats? I don't know the exact number. That's a complete guess, but it certainly wasn't 400. You got to play almost a full year to get 400.
That is true. But Campbell did sign the extension, so perhaps that's part of it. If Anthony signed an extension, who knows? He might be up, but.
Well, that would be part and parcel to signing the extension. I'm not going to sign this extension and go to Worcester. You're going to tell me I'm on the big league club.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just throwing scenarios out there.
If they're doing that, it's so stupid because I don't have a good answer, so I guess I can't really go much. It's just if you're putting something that arbitrary in place and saying the only way we break our rules if you sign an extension, you're an ass clown program. You have two guys that are clearly big league players, certainly offensively, Mayer defensively. It's just so arbitrary and stupid. It's the ultimate bite your hand to spite your face.
Yeah. Move.
It's the ultimate.
Those I wasn't really trying to merge those together, but they were just separate observations. But yeah, I don't know. It's long past time to at least bring Meyer up and even Anthony.
It could happen so quickly, guys. It could just be Devers accepts first base. Boom, we get Roman Anthony. Fake DL stint for Story. We got Meyer in the same day. Could happen tomorrow. It won't, but it could.
All right, what's
that?
The next
was
one?
Fun.
Yeah, we just spent the whole 30 minutes.
I know. One. Yeah, so I'll go real quick on this one. So okay. Duffman, Duffy 619M should have signed Pete Alonso in the offseason. Get a trade together and make it happen soon. First base and power problem solved. No, thank you, Duffman. Thank you, Duffy. Yeah, sure. He wasn't going to go anywhere else outside of New York. He made that part pretty clear. He did not want to go anywhere else. It would have been great to see that kind of power playing at Fenway Park, a right-handed power bat. He's also way overperforming to a point where I don't think anybody thought he was going to be doing this. So, you know, yes, we didn't put, you know, I guess the right step forward to get him in Boston, but I don't think he really was going to sign anywhere else outside of New York. He wanted a mega contract and settled for, it was like a 1-1. He got a 1 year. He can opt out after this year and he'll opt out. He'll test the free agent market again. And he'll probably sign another long-term contract with the Mets because he doesn't want to go anywhere else. So real quick on that one, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be just as quick, if not quicker, guys. He's signed. So it's not, I mean, it's irrelevant. And the Mets are 28-16 plus run differential of plus 65. He's a huge part of that. And they're 2.5 games up on the Phillies and 6 on Atlanta, who I think will continue to improve starting by beating the Red Sox. So it's not going to happen.
Okay. So yeah, it's not going to happen this season. But if Bregman opts out, I'm pretty sure Alonso has an opt out. So you could look at it next winter. That was just my phone. If you really wanted to bring him in, he's hitting way above his career average. It was right around 350. It's since settled down to 311. He's hit 9 dingers. His OPS is just over 1, though, and just absolutely destroying it right now. And I can't complain about the Bregman deal. I mean, he's like off the charts right now in every imaginable way. Doubles.
Where would we be without Bregman?
Home runs. Right, well, Devers would still be at third. That's the interesting thing.
Yeah. Bregman's been carrying right now. I'm eating crow on him. He's been carrying this team.
But just think about that for a second. If they went Alonso instead of Bregman, Devers is the third baseman.
But there's no Bregman in the lineup, bro.
No, I know.
You'd save $20 million.
And then we're back to a completely left-handed imbalance. Bregman hitting third at least gives you some level of balance in the top half.
Well, Alonso would probably slot into the same spot. I said all winter.
Oh, I see.
If you put Alonso behind Devers and give Devers all that protection, not that he's not getting it now, but I don't know. I can't complain about Bregman, though. I mean, that I figured that was going to be a solid signing. I didn't think it was going to be this amazing, you know, right out of the gates.
Yeah. And he doesn't need to be. If he slugs, what his average is completely irrelevant. I think of Schwarber in the same way. If you get on base and slug, I don't need you to hit. Your batting average is mostly irrelevant.
Right.
You guys want me to get to mine really quick?
Bang it out. Bring us home.
All right. Zach WT, which is at Zach WT11, says Cora has been a terrible manager this year. Lineup decisions and bullpen decisions have been poor. He has no fire or emotion when they pan to him during games and seems to be just going through the motions. So I'm going to start with the end of this tweet. And the no fire and emotion is an intentional thing that most major league managers exhibit because it's the marathon, not a sprint. If you're going to get upset every time there's a mistake, error, bad call at the plate, bang, bang, play it first, you're going to run, you're going to redline way too early. You got to play 162 games. You can't argue balls and strikes anymore, so it's completely senseless unless you want to get thrown out of the game. And if there's a bad call, you challenge it and overturn it. People aren't going to come flying out of the dugouts like they did in the 90s, looking to get in people's faces. You just challenge it, you prove you're right, and you move on to the next play. I personally like his personality in the dugout. You know, that's where you build people around you. Your bench coach may be the guy that goes and sits next to you and say, hey, it's going to be okay. Or Veritek's going to go and, you know, talk about, you know, let's go watch the film and see what we can do next at bat. Cora needs to watch every pitch and have complete control over the game. His persona during games is perfect for that 162 format. Terrible manager this year. This is where he has not been as good as he has in the past, and I'm softening on how much I like Alex Cora. But you have to understand, and I don't think we need to restate it because a lot of what we talked about is Breslow not building a big league club that fits what we could be doing if we had the right people in the right spots. So I understand where Cora hasn't been as good, and his feel for the bullpen has been problematic, and there's been a lot of inconsistencies in the bullpen, especially, you know, outside of essentially Chapman. But he's been handicapped. And I'm not making excuses, but he is. He's also not having as good of a year. To say he's a terrible manager is just wrong. There's no one in baseball that would agree with that part of the take. So I just my thoughts on it. Not saying it's a good or bad tweet. That's my commentary on the tweet.
Terry.
Yeah, it's one of the things that's kind of been in my head the last few days, because I mean, Cora's been a lightning rod really for, I don't know, the last couple of weeks at least, but all managers do run their course eventually. And by the end of this season, he'll have one less year in Boston than Francona had. Now, Francona had a wagon every year. Like, the goal was always to win with him, and Cora hasn't had that luxury, you know, especially in the bloom years. But I just wonder, and Jeremy was touching on some stuff, like they didn't do enough housekeeping this winter to make the pieces fit. And so we're constantly juggling, we're constantly trying to find roles, and then we're switching roles. And it's just, I don't know. And I think he is aggravated a bit with Breslow. And I just think that he's frustrated. Just remember, the first year he managed, Dave Dombrowski was the GM, and everything got handled when Dombrowski was here. Every need got addressed. Every situation, oh, you don't want Hanley anymore? All right, he's gone. Out of nowhere. You know, and he hasn't had an executive like that over him. And Breslow's learning on the job, and you're seeing all these mistakes, you know, with the Devers handling and, you know, and other things as well.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I don't think we're saying this if the Boston Red Sox are 6-7 games above 500. I don't think we're saying this if none of the players have gotten injured, because the manager's not at fault because injuries have happened. There have been several times this year where I've questioned why we're still... I mean, one of the big things for me is I really hate seeing these relievers go for two innings now. It really just... It ticks me off, because that's how they just blow out their arm. They're not available for 4 or 5 days. You've added even more stress to the bullpen. I mean, that one right there is enough of a reason to just say, this is stupid. Core needs to figure it out. He's got to do a better job of being diplomatic, especially with the media, because some of the things he said, I'm like, man, that's just not going to go over well. It's just not. And to bring up comments and to make comments, I mean, not just this year, but even before the year started, and we're talking about spring training where, you know, this was this person's guy, and, you know, it just, there are so many comments that he has made that have just been taken completely out of context and have been in just poor taste, poor jest. They've just been poor, right? No, he has no fire. No, he has emotion. I mean, a lot of that fire and emotion has been sucked out of this team for a couple of reasons. So I appreciate the comment, Zach, but you're limited with options right now. I think some of the players that possibly could be called up right now could have been called up a week earlier, 2 weeks earlier. We still haven't seen them. Manager isn't in charge of calling people up. He's left to play with the pieces he's got, and that's it. So until proper reinforcements do come in, until there's a proper suitable, you know, first baseman, until we get that rotation back and we actually have a catcher that's not making mistakes, people that are playing their correct position. I know there's going to be growing pains with players playing new positions, but you can only blame the manager for so much. I'm not the biggest Cora supporter. I don't think I'm thrilled that he's still here, but he's here for 3 more years. He's here until 2027. Jeremy, you think he'll be here until at least 2026, maybe 27. They let him go for whatever reason, or let him go at some point next season. I don't know. You know, I really don't. It's a tough situation that we're in right now, boys.
For sure.
Terry, anything else you want to add for your manager?
I don't think so, but the hot takes were pretty hot this week.
Yeah. So thankfully we're not facing Detroit right now.
Now we get Atlanta.
I know.
Now we get Atlanta. Yeah.
Not that they're playing hot, but they can mash and make our lives hell.
They'll get right against us.
Well, we've got Crochet versus Sale tomorrow night, so I can't wait for that.
Yeah. That's gonna be a real fun game to watch.
Crochet is gonna shove, and we're gonna be up 2-1 going into the seventh, and we're gonna lose 5-3.
There's Jeremy with that candid.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I didn't say anything.
Well, Ozuna will probably crush at least two,
just for Terry.
That's what he does at Fenway, but we'll see.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see indeed. All right, that's going to do it for the Bastards. Everyone have a great one. Take care.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.